Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency relies on information and technology to carry out its mission, protecting human health and the environment. The agency depends on the availability of and access to high-quality, timely, and reliable information, and the technology that makes it all happen. Both are strategic assets to an agency that understands managing these resources efficiently and effectively is key to it being successful. What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? How is EPA modernizing its technology infrastructure and ensuring its IT investments align with its overall mission? And how is the EPA providing balanced stewardship between information and technology? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Malcolm Jackson, Assistant Administrator of the Office of Environmental Information and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Malcolm, welcome. It's great to have you.
Well, Michael, thank you for having me.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Ken Beecher. Ken, always good to have you back.
Great being back.
Malcolm, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you can give us a brief overview of the history and evolving mission of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. When was it created and how has its mission evolved to date?
Well, EPA was created back in 1970 by President Nixon. And it really came about from a genesis of a need for a focus on environment and cleaning up our environment. The year before President Nixon created EPA, we had an incident with the Cuyahoga River where there just was so many toxins in the river, and it caught on fire. And the president felt a very strong need to have a focus that really looked at establishing and enforcing environmental protection standards and looking at research and how can we do a better job of protecting our environment. But what it's evolved to, and I would say, is that for the most part, it hasn't changed. It's shifted a bit in the sense of there's more of a focus around human health. When you think about our mission today around protecting human health and the environment in which we live, environment being the land, the water, the air, and drawing that correlation to the human health side. I think the focus on human health has been the biggest difference.
So it's such a critical mission. I'd like to get a sense of the scale of operations you support. Would you describe how EPA is organized, the size of its budget, number of full-time employees, and its geographical footprint?
Well, EPA has over 17,000 employees, and we're headquartered here in Washington, D.C. We have 10 regional offices across 10 metropolitan areas and with research laboratories all across the country. We cover about 48 cities where we have offices and representations in those cities and 31 states. So that gives you a perspective of our reach. And I add one other point is, although we focus primarily on the U.S., we look broadly from a global perspective. So we're involved with activities, environmental activities beyond just the United States borderline, because we recognize the importance of environmental protection, and we want to be stewards for the environment and looking more broadly outside of our walls. And as an example, you think about China or you think about Japan. Japan just this past year had the earthquake and the tsunami. We work very closely with them around the environmental aspects of clean air and looking at it from the perspective and really recognizing that air that's being toxic air that are in other parts of the world eventually moves here. So we really want to look at it more holistically. So that gives you somewhat of a perspective of us from a scope perspective in terms of where we're located geologically. From a budgetary perspective, just this past year on FY 2012, we had a budget of around $8.5 billion. And we're looking at 13-13 budget, which was just submitted and on February 13th, around 8.3. Now, that's what's been submitted. But as you know, we have to go through a number of protocols with regard to what the president submits and what Congress approves.
So now that you provided us a sense of the larger organization, could you tell us more about your area? Specifically, what are your responsibilities as the Assistant Administrator for EPA's Office of Environmental Information and CIO? Maybe you can tell us a little bit of the day in the life.
That's a very good question. I have I actually wear multiple hats as the assistant administrator and the chief information officer, and I'll break them apart. I'll talk about each one of them separately. As the assistant administrator, I actually run a program. It's the Toxic Release Inventory Program, and that's the program where toxics that are released into our environment, we monitor those toxins. There's over 600 toxins that have been identified as human carcinogens. In a nutshell, what that means is these are chemicals that can cause cancer. And we want to track what those chemicals are and make it public, all around transparency and ensuring the public is aware of what information or rather what toxics are being released in their environment. So that's one side of the shop that I manage. This has been around for a number of years and it's won quite a few awards, our Toxic Release Inventory Program. The other side of it is being the agency technologist or managing agency technology matters. And this covers a couple areas. There's the operational aspects of it, really the running of the shop, the hardware side of it, the software side of it. And then there's a policy aspect of it, too, thinking of what policies do we need to put in place from a technology perspective. This covers all the, managing all of IT asset management. It covers cybersecurity. It also covers records management, all of the records that we have. How do we manage those effectively? How do we keep track of those records? Electronic records, it's a number of things from that perspective. One other component is FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. We receive requests from the general public around information with regards to our agency, and we manage that. So I'm the chief FOIA officer as well. And additionally, we manage libraries. We have libraries all around the country, which we house environmental information and make it available. So American citizens can go in and visit our libraries and learn quite a bit of information about environmental matters. And then finally, I also manage quality systems. So all of our quality systems for the agency, ensuring that we're providing the highest quality systems, that we have best practices from a quality perspective around data collection, data availability, information that's being released. That's all managed within our quality system program as well.
With such a robust portfolio, could you outline for us the three top challenges that you have faced in your position and how you've sought to address those challenges?
Well, that's a really tough question when you think about just three challenges. There's always to try and prioritize and narrow it down to three is difficult. But I gave that a bit of thought, and really it falls into three categories. First being maximizing IT investments, looking at it from the perspective, how do we ensure that we're getting the best possible outcomes from the investments that we make from an IT perspective? Using taxpayer dollars, as you know, they pay for everything in which we do, and I want to make sure that taxpayers, American citizens, understand and know that we're spending their money in the most appropriate manner. The way of doing that is we've instituted an IT governance model, a really strong focus around IT governance. And how do we ensure that we're investing monies in the most appropriate manner, that we're not having duplicity, that we're not wasting taxpayer dollars? And this governance model spans across the entire agency. It enables us to have transparency and input and collaboration into where we're investing. The second one is around, I'll call it a one agency approach. It's looking at how do we ensure we're doing things once and using it many times. Getting the most out of our investments. Ensuring that we have collaboration, transparency around the highest priority activities for our agency as a whole. And my approach for that is really focusing on strengthening partnerships, looking to reach out beyond just the walls of my office, looking to reach out beyond the walls of this agency. I want to make sure that we're getting the best business value out of our investments. And I feel very strongly on this statement I'm about to make is we do great work at EPA. prior to me getting here, the IT organization did a tremendous amount of good work. But all great ideas don't resonate or even begin within EPA. So I look to extend beyond the walls of EPA and looking into my, I'll call it the federal family, and looking for opportunities to leverage some of the work that they're doing there. And so you have this one agency approach, and with an eye on, are there other agencies or departments that may be doing something that we may be able to leverage or better leverage within our agency to get good outcomes from? The third one would be around cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is probably the hottest item out there today, and I'll tell you why. Everything else that we do, you can kind of see it and plan for it. There's a bit of uncertainty with some technology in the sense of technology moves so very fast. But cybersecurity, you don't know where you're going to get hit. It's a challenge. It's something which I don't know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but I've got to be able to respond to it. So we want to make sure that we provide protection and have a response model that supports what we're trying to accomplish within EPA.
I don't know if you want to expand on what makes an effective leader, but I'd also be interested in understanding who's influenced your leadership style.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think that the characteristics of a good leader is someone who's a visionary, who understands where he wants to take an organization. I mean, you got to have strong leadership skills, which are different than management skills. You think of management as you have an activity and you need to manage that activity. When I think of a leader is someone who thinks of where do we need to take an organization and have vision of where do you want to take it. So that's the visionary aspects of it. I also think that a leader needs to be driven because as a visionary, you're looking to take an organization somewhere else, and that's change. The leader needs to really be driven to take an organization where it needs to go. Someone as a leader, that's a characteristic that I think is crucial toward being an effective leader. A third one would be a coach. I talked about vision. I talked about driven. And you know the tie-in to change management. You've got to coach people along the way, so that they believe you, that they understand where you're going, and you've got to help them get there. The fourth one, I think, is a partner, because you're working with business colleagues who have a mission, an objective in their role, and you need to partner with them to ensure that what they are looking to accomplish, you're bringing the technology leadership and the path of getting there. And the fifth one that I really believe is important is around listening. Listening is a critical skill. When I first came into my role, the first thing I did was go out and meet with folks at various levels within the organization. And my intent there was just to listen to what they had to say. So when you couple those five characteristics that I just described, vision, driven, coach, partner, and listener, I think those are the key characteristics of a leader. Now, you may ask, how did I get there? I didn't really have a particular person that I would point to and say, that's the one who I want to be like. I've worked at a number of different organizations in a lot of different industries, and I've been very fortunate that I've had a number of great, great leaders and a number of great coaches and mentors along the way. And my leadership style is a blend of a number of different leaders. Some were great at leading teams. Others were great visionaries. And some are great coaches. What I've done is kind of taken pieces of all of them and used that in building the characteristics of my leadership style.
What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Malcolm Jackson, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.